Magnus Haystick joins us now, Chief Investment Officer and founder of Brenthurst Wealth. Magnus, good to be with you and to actually chew the fat again, as we have been doing over many, many years in the past. But you're an active member of the BizNews Premium WhatsApp groups, and you posted something there talking about a 50% increase in the property sector in South Africa over the year so far to date. That's an extraordinary rebound.
Yes, good afternoon, Alec. And again, we're chewing fat in different places and different times, but it still remains very nice. Yes, up to about a year ago, for the last 7 years, the listed property sector was not a great place to be for South Africa. You know, the listed property was battling with very high interest rates, increased vacancies. It had the COVID lockdown, and it also had the maladministration of the big cities in the country, and rates and taxes, electricity, solar panels. You know, it was a perfect storm against the owners of these properties. And about 7-8 months ago, Kilian Ndlovu, who is a good friend of mine, he used to be at Stanlib, their property expert. He went on a sabbatical, and he's now a consultant. He started whispering in my ear. He said, Magnus, you need to look at the listed property sector. And I said to him, oh, no, Kilian, I'm not interested. It's all negative. And he quietly convinced me in his usual way that there's substantial value in our big listed stocks. And over time, I started tracking those funds and started using them slightly. But I wasn't initially convinced that this is a big turnaround. But you know, here we are 6 months, 8 months later, the returns are in excess of 50%. And it just shows you it's one of these almost hidden, not discussed in the media, hoorahs about the big returns. And suddenly those guys are worth 50% more than 8 months ago. It's just another lesson in financial markets that we will never stop learning. You do not read the headlines all the time if you want to make good investment returns. Go and search a little bit harder for value. And we had the same. I see gold is also up 50% in rand terms. But the listed property space is very intriguing. If the vacancies start rising, especially in the office space, and I'll come back to that in a second, plus you have electricity costs not under that much pressure, and you have interest rates coming down very importantly, there can be further value to be found in the listed property space.
We do know that some of the great fortunes in history have been made through property. And many of the wealthy people that I know have achieved a lot of that by investing in property over periods. And I include Magnus Haystick amongst that. You've been a big property investor for a long time. Not necessarily recently in South Africa, but are you now looking again here? I know you did say you'd bought a couple of properties in the Western Cape, but are you looking elsewhere in the country yet?
No, not yet, Alec. You know, as you quite rightly point out, for my sins, I really like property as an asset class, mainly because of the diversification from my business. You know, my business is, 80 to 90% exposed to the equity markets. Now, that wouldn't be smart. You have all of your personal assets in the same market. And if you get hit by one, you get hit on both sides. So I like property not only in South Africa, Mauritius, London, and places like that. But as I said at the business conference, my wife and I have been steadily buying small properties, small offices in Cape Town, Tiger Valley, in the Paarl area, Valdevie. We have a very nice, and we're very grateful that we have a very nice property portfolio. And one of these days, we'll be able to afford a property in Marmaris, but we're not there yet, Alec. But I can already see that the south of the country, the Western Cape, is not a bad place to be. Suddenly, the vacancies are filling up. A year and a half ago, there was ample office space in the Atlantic seaboard, and today it's gone. There's nothing to be found. Tiger Valley, gone, nothing to be found. Now, that's a combination of more than just one factor. But this working from home thing is slowly starting to turn, and the big companies are cracking the whip when they're saying, guys, come back to the office. Now, that trend starts accelerating, especially in parts of Johannesburg, maybe Pretoria. Those half-empty office buildings standing there could fill up very rapidly, and the values will increase commensurately. So if you're a property speculator and wanting to put some money down with some risks, I would suggest you look at places in Sandton, maybe Fourway, Sunning Hill, where guys are offloading their offices. But if this moving, working from housing turns, you could make a nice bit of money very, very quickly.
You've always kept your finger on the pulse on geopolitics globally and local politics as well. And the Gauteng politics doesn't look very good right now. Are you seeing through that when you suggest that there could be opportunities in the property sector in Gauteng?
And that all depends, of course, on the administration and management of those municipalities, Tshwane and Gauteng, Johannesburg. And that, of course, is your risk factor. And then as R.W. Johnson wrote a couple of days ago about Johannesburg becoming a Kinshasa over time. And also I see John Enres from the IRR also on his website yesterday or today warning about the collapse of property values in South Africa in the big cities. One has to take that into recognition. So you have to be selective. You have got to look at who's running that municipality. And that's where the risk would be. Not in the bricks and mortar itself, because you are buying offices at a vast discount to building a new one with, say, historic levels, but it's what's around you, and then that is your risk factor.
I'd like to get your view on something completely different now, and it's also related to value, and that's share buybacks. Yesterday, I spoke to Vikas Latakhan, who's the chief executive of Calgro M3. It's an interesting company, but what really caught my attention was that they've bought back 26% of the equity in the company in the last couple of years. Now, this is a business that trades at 6.60 rand, and the net asset value is 14 rand. We've also seen every day that South 32, which is a big mining company that I guess its directors think is very cheap, every day they're buying back shares. Naspers and Prosus have got a massive share buyback program. Is this a little tip for people when you see companies buying back their own shares? Because in theory, the directors of the company would not be allocating cash that they have in the business into their own equity if they didn't see great value in it.
That's quite correct. It's a good summation of why some of the companies are doing that. They're selling the surplus cash, and instead of expanding their businesses, new greenfield ventures, they're saying, guys, we probably will make a better return just buying our own shares from non-strong or not long-term investors. We're mopping up all those shares. We'll make much more money because immediately you have less shares and dividends immediately increase in value, earnings increase in value. And that's also driven by the cycle. I mean, if you look at the very big interest rate cycle in South Africa, we've been battled with very high interest rates for a very, very long period of time. And the Reserve Bank has been criticized and attacked from many sources about it. But if the interest rate cycle does normalize and turn downwards, that would be a very good play, because suddenly your assets increase in value, especially bricks and mortar, land in stock. That increases, the holding cost comes down, and everything goes up in value. I mean, if you look at property companies, if you look at property, it's the land cost that goes up all the time, up and down, not so much the building cost. That's a fixed cost, but it's the land cost that sometimes drives these decisions. Now, I don't know specifically with Calgro, but I suspect that's got something to do with it. They're saying, guys, we better off just buying back our shares because we've got the stock, and then we will make a better return in the short term.
Yeah, 6.60 rand as against net assets of 14 rand. It doesn't really take a genius to work out that if you've got extra cash, you know where to put it. There were a couple of results today. I know that it's difficult without analyzing the numbers in great depth, but Robbie Fenter passed away recently. You, like me, remember him, a great gentleman. And part of that group's operations was a company called Bytes, a technology group. Now, Robbie helped to externalize that, and it's now a UK company. And my goodness, those South Africans running it, or the South Africans involved in it, are doing a wonderful job. They've had 6 months to the end of August. Headline earnings per share in pounds were up 20%. The dividend in pounds up 15%. They are pumping up their cash resources. It's almost like if you can get it right as a South African business internationally, and you multiply those pounds by 23, it becomes quite an achievement.
You know, we have a history of many, many sharp South African guys who leave South Africa and they set up businesses all around the world, mostly Europe, UK, and of course the United States. And I think the most outstanding example must be Monster Beverages, with two accountants from Wits. I think one guy is called Hilton Sachs, and I'm not sure who the other guy is.
Schlossberg. Hilton Schlossberg.
That's right. So that's quite correct.
Ex-Liberty.
They went and they bought. I mean, they built a fantastic business, and there are many, many examples of guys who left from South Africa. You know, maybe accountancy students from Wits or maybe Cape Town, and they set up fantastic businesses in London and still do. And a couple in Australia. We had one lady from South Africa who was running the biggest bank in Australia. I can't remember her name offhand, but you remember.
Kelly. You're testing. That's it's like a quiz here today, Magnus. I know her well because
trip memory lane. Yeah,
yeah. I bought her house when she left the country in Parkview. Can you believe
that? There we go. Mm. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. So South Africa has got a long history of sending some smart young accountancy students and commerce students, and they make the mark of the world. And sometimes they come back and invest in South African companies again. So yeah, that is quite true, and I haven't analyzed the Bytes one, but that could be another example.
It's a good point that if we can make this company deserving of those immigrants staying or coming back, you can just imagine the entrepreneurial endeavors or spirit that could be unleashed here. So it's a very good point that you make. And another company that's doing well internationally, listed on the NASDAQ, is Karooo, K-A-R-O-O-O-O-O, five O's in the name.
Five O's. I always count the O's when I type the name.
But it's came out with its quarterly results today. Very strong subscribers, up 17%, 89,000 net new subscribers. Okay, it's not Netflix, but my goodness, those are big numbers. And their subscriptions in the quarter is nearly R1 billion, up 15%. I don't know if you've looked at this company. CarTrack is their brand.
You know, I
have
been following Zach Calisto, you know, for a long time, and I, you know, just keep an eye on what he's doing. So, you know, he had to go and get a NASDAQ listing to really impress the world. South Africa, unfortunately, and I've mentioned it in the past, if it comes to the technological innovative companies, our investment community is a little bit more inward-looking. They buy nice banks and insurance companies, and they know the retailers very well, and a couple of gold mines in the old days. But the real technological companies, they had to go overseas to the NASDAQ, where there's a totally different environment. They like putting money into those type of companies because that's where you make the really, really big bucks. You know, you look at a company like NVIDIA, which today or very soon could be the biggest company in the world. Now, NVIDIA, a lot of people think, oh, it's a flash in the pan. NVIDIA is 30 years old. It's only in the last 10 years, 10, 12 years, that the share price really took off. And, you know, the share price is just compounded. Unfortunately, South African investors have largely missed that boom in the IT, the technological, the AI, the computers. We just never had that culture, whereas that culture is inbred in the United States, where enormous fortunes have been created by, you know, startup companies, and then they rise through to the top, like NVIDIA, NBC, with many, many others as well.
Maybe we're a little reluctant to embrace exponential companies. It's hard to get your head around these businesses that grow 30, 40, 50% a year, and then to value them accordingly. And of course, NVIDIA is growing much faster than that even. And it's almost a bit of a conservative approach that we take to investing in South Africa. But who knows? Maybe the next Karoo is going to be appreciated here.
You know, you're quite right. I was looking at the five-year numbers for the Signia Fang fund today. It's both a fund and an ETF. And they had to close the fund because they don't have offshore capacity. That has given us a return of the last 5 years of 30% per annum. Now, that is seriously creating a lot of wealth. Yet, I battle to find many analysts and commentators and journalists even to write and talk and discuss it. Whereas in the United States, that will be on the front pages every day. Not only one company, but many, many of those type of companies. Stanlib used to have a technological company or technology company, a listed entity, a unit trust. They closed it down in 2013. Due to lack, when I asked them, why are you closing it down? I want to put some money in. They said, the local market is not ready for it. Now, that maybe is symptomatic of a kind of short-sightedness on the part of investors. Maybe they don't like the volatility. Maybe we're more conservative than we care to admit. But, you know, if you're stuck with something like the FANG stocks for 5 years and more, you know, 30% growth over time. And again, this year it's up in dollar terms, 53%, rand terms, 40%. And people say, oh, no, it's a bubble, it's going to burst. And I'm saying it's just the beginning. I see Google have just signed a contract to buy the first mini nuclear plant in order to generate electricity for their AI operations in the United States. Now, that, Alec, to me, is a game changer. A game changer of what is to come in the artificial intelligence space. They realize they need so much power to drive these operations for the big companies and for themselves. They're employing nuclear power because the normal electric stations can't cope.
It's an extraordinary story of Google moving there. Microsoft bought 3 Mile Island. Remember 3 Mile Island, which was
quite
in the
correct
news years ago that
correct,
people
sir
were very scared about. So the big guys are their eyes are open, and they can see the requirements that are needed on that side. Maybe just to close off with, we've had 200 days plus now of no load shedding. Are people starting to believe that it's something that could be here to stay? In other words, that nightmare is behind us?
I hope it's past, but I don't think it is. I think one of the reasons is, of course, is the weak demand. Commerce and industry have been forced the last 2 to 3 years to virtually put up so much solar power onto their roofs and wherever that they've actually bought a brand new power station. That helped a lot. I think those numbers do. I have been affected by the fact that there's so much power, solar power available. But yes, it is nice not to talk about the power cuts and blackouts and whatever you want to call it. So that is a very positive, and we must not ignore that factor. It is nice to be not worried about that for the time being. The big issue, of course, now is the water crisis coming our way.
Yo, Magnus, I was about to sign off there, but that's something that R.W. Johnson was writing about, as you say, that Johannesburg becoming Kinshasa, or on the road to Kinshasa. The governance has got to sort itself out pretty quickly, because if you've got poor governance and you've got the already disadvantage that the Gauteng area has with water, you're heading for a bit of a smash.
That, unfortunately, looks like it's heading our way, but let's not spoil a nice chat. Eric, nice chatting to you again.
Indeed. Let us sign off on that. Magnus Haystack, the Chief Investment Officer and founder of Brenthurst Wealth, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.